Let's read together Luke chapter 7, verses 18 through 35. In this section of the chapter, the Lord comments on the ministry and mission of John the Baptist. Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 18. Then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, "Are you the coming one? Or do we look for another?" When the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" And that very hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me." When the messengers of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. "What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who are gorgeously apparelled and live in luxury are in king's courts. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." And when all the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. And the Lord said, "To what then shall I liken the men of this generation? And what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, saying, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not weep.' For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is justified by all her children." Let's begin our study of this portion of Luke chapter 7 with some background notes. We know from the parallel passage in Matthew chapter 11 that John the Baptist was in prison at this time. He was in prison at Machaerus, the southernmost stronghold built by Herod the Great on the east side of the Dead Sea. From here, John the Baptist sent two of his own disciples to ask the Lord whether he really was the Messiah, or were they still waiting for the Messiah? Now, why would John the Baptist be expressing these doubts? Had he lost faith and given up because he was in prison? No, John hadn't lost faith. It was just that things were not going the way John thought they would go. After all, John had announced the kingdom as being at hand. And he probably expected that once he had introduced the Messiah, it wouldn't be long before Jesus would take over as king and set up the glorious earthly kingdom that was predicted in the Old Testament. But instead, John was arrested and put in prison, and Rome was still in power. And the Lord's program and timetable were not exactly what John had envisioned. So John the Baptist did the right thing. He sent his honest doubts right to the Lord for some answers, and we should do the same. There's nothing wrong with having honest doubts and questions. We all have them, especially when our good plans are not going as we expected. We should bring these honest doubts and questions to the Lord and let him answer them. And he will. Maybe not immediately, and maybe not as we expected, but he will answer. The answer John the Baptist received from the Lord was a quotation from Old Testament prophetic scripture. After John's two disciples saw some of the healing miracles of Jesus, the Lord told the two disciples to go back to John and tell him that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. These are quotations from the messianic prophecies of Isaiah. I'm reading Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6. And also Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Isaiah 61, verse 1. So the Lord quoted the content of these messianic prophecies in response to John the Baptist's two disciples. In other words, John, here's your answer. Yes, I am the Messiah. The messianic predictions are being fulfilled. Even though things are not going exactly as you had envisioned, don't let that stumble you. Although John the Baptist did not get out of prison, his doubts were removed. And as the Lord answered the doubts and questions of John the Baptist with Scripture, so many times the Lord will clear up our doubts and questions with Scripture. Therefore, read and study God's Word every day. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for this portion of Luke chapter 7. Doctrinal point number one. Believers today are greater than John the Baptist. Believers today are greater than John the Baptist. Now that almost sounds heretical, doesn't it? But look at verse 28. For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Let me ask you, are you in the kingdom of God? You say yes. But I'm not a very great Christian. In other words, you're one of the least in the kingdom of God, right? Well, on the authority of Luke 7:28, you're greater than John the Baptist. So what exactly did Jesus mean by this statement? He who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Well, let's take the first part of the verse first. Jesus said, for I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Now that's quite a commendation, isn't it? Think of all those Old Testament saints like Abraham and Moses and David and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel and many more. John the Baptist was greater than all these heroes of the faith. In what way was John the Baptist greater than everyone before him? Not only was John the Baptist a man of great conviction and commitment, he was not like a reed bending in whatever way the wind blew. And not only was John the Baptist a man of great sacrifice, he did not live in comfort and luxury. John the Baptist was greater than anyone before him because of his mission. He was the forerunner of the Messiah. He was God's special messenger prophesied in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, which is quoted here in verse 27. Now, it's significant that in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, we read, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Whereas here in Luke chapter 7, when Luke quotes this prophecy, we read, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. In other words, the me of Malachi's prophecy, who is obviously the Lord God, is the you here in Luke 6:27. That is, Jesus is the Lord God of the Old Testament. Another proof of the deity of Christ. But now what about the last part of verse 28? He who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. In what way is every Christian greater than John the Baptist? We are certainly not greater in character or in mission, but we are greater in privilege. John the Baptist was not indwelt by the Holy Spirit as every believer is today. John the Baptist was not part of the church, the body of Christ, but all believers today have the privilege of being part of the body of Christ here on this earth. Old Testament believers all look forward to the great focus of history, the coming of Christ. Believers today are privileged to live in the fullness of times now that Christ has come and his work on the cross is completed. Believers today are greater than John the Baptist. Doctrinal point number two. Unbelievers today are like spoiled brats. Unbelievers today are like spoiled brats. A brat, by definition, is an ill-mannered, annoying child. That's exactly what the Lord said the unbelievers of this generation are like, verses 31 and 32. And the Lord said, "To what then shall I liken the men of this generation? And what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, saying, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not weep.'" Just as unhappy, obstinate children don't want to play wedding or funeral, so is this unbelieving generation wayward and perverse because it refuses to respond to any approach from God. John the Baptist came as an austere and ascetic prophet, but they wrongly accused him of having a demon. The Lord came eating and drinking and relating to the tax gatherers and sinners, and they wrongly accused him of being a glutton and drinking too much. The unbelieving generation of Jesus' day was hardened and would not respond to the truth. The same is true today. For example, this unbelieving generation finds fault with Christians who reach out and try to bring help to people. These Christians are told to mind their own business. And at the same time, this unbelieving generation accuses Christians of not reaching out to help people. You can't win. Many other examples could be given. Unbelievers are like unhappy, unsatisfied, obstinate, perverse children. Now, this is not true of every unbeliever, of course, but it is characteristic of this unbelieving generation. Unbelievers today are like spoiled brats. Practical application from this portion of Luke chapter 7. Let's be children of wisdom. Let's be children of wisdom. In verse 35, the Lord said, "But wisdom is justified by all her children." Now, what did the Lord mean by that statement? In the context, he meant that the disciples who were following the wisdom of his teaching and the teaching of John the Baptist were proof of the correctness of this teaching. Even though the majority, including the religious leaders, were in the unbelieving generation, the minority were proof that the scribes and Pharisees were wrong and that the Lord and John were right. Why? Because the lives and lifestyles of these folks were changed as a result of the teaching. They were now characterized by love and holiness and justice. The same is true today. The Lord and his word are wisdom. When we follow the Lord and his word, we are children of wisdom, and we are proof of the truth of his teaching because our lives are radically changed. At least they should be, if we are true children of wisdom. So let's be children of wisdom.